This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 63rd State House District includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. John Anthony LaPietra is the Green Party candidate for the seat, which is currently held by Republican Dave Maturin. John Anthony LaPietra, thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell the audience about yourself.
Well, I've been an attorney for just about 8 years, going on 8 years now, working on civil, constitutional, election, and property rights, and also doing a lot of what's called document review, but on a somewhat higher level because I can am both an attorney trained and also knowledgeable in Japanese language. So that's where I make a lot of the money, and then therefore I can afford to do a little bit of pro bono work on the side for some other causes. I have had a couple other careers before that. I had about 10 years experience each in government, state, regional, and local, nonprofit organizations or groups, and the private sector. So I have a somewhat balanced view of how things can be done, I think. I know that government is like a business in some ways, and it can be run in a business-like way, because it is the people's business. But because it's the people's business, it's not exactly like a for-profit business. We don't look at the bottom line every quarter. At least I hope we don't. I'm running as a Green because I believe in the Green Party's values, and I think a lot of us do, actually. I'm hoping that this year more of us find out how green we really are. The main green value that I'm representing with this campaign is grassroots democracy. Our state's constitution doesn't have quite as famous a start as "We the People of the United States," but it does get to the point pretty well. Article 1, Section 1 says, "All political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their equal benefit, security, and protection."
So, if you're elected to the State House, what would that mean? What are the policies that you would pursue that would fulfill the Michigan Constitution?
Well, as I see it, those who have been in power in Lansing for a long time, so it's not necessarily one or the other of the two major parties exclusively, have been working particularly hard to protect their own power and position against interference by the people. They've made it harder to vote. They've made it harder to register to vote. They've made it harder to second guess their decisions with referendums or initiatives, or to recall them if we think they've done a bad job. They're not subject to Freedom of Information or Open Meetings Act, and I know there is a small package going on right now, but I think it's a fairly small loaf to settle for. There are a lot of devilish details to worry about. We can come back to those later at some point, but we need to fix all of those things. We need to do something as simple as actually passing a law, which Michigan doesn't have, to require public officials to declare their financial situations and gifts given to them. Most states have those. We don't.
Gifts given to them in the course of their work, I mean...
Yes, all right, and personally, but in the course of their work, certainly. As you probably know, Gordon, last fall, the Center for Public Integrity rated Michigan dead last, 50th out of 50, in state government integrity and accountability. I think this is related to the fact that those in power have looked out for themselves more than for the people, and changes in all those areas that I want to make.
Okay, let's talk about voting for a second. How would you make it easier to register to vote? What's in the way right now if someone wants to register?
There are confusions about whether you can register or not, or where you're going to be able to register and where you're going to be able to vote, particularly for students who are sometimes trapped between voting where their families are or where they are living at college.
Would you allow students to register where they're going to college, even if they've maintained their parents' address as their legal residence?
I believe I would, as long as they aren't registered in both places and vote in both places. I think where they actually spend most of their time and know the issues and the people involved would be a better place for them to be able to vote.
Okay, actually voting. What would you do to make it easier for people to actually vote?
Oh, goodness. All sorts of states have different ways to do that. I would like to look at the whole study and pick out some of the best practices, but there are some ideas such as no reason absentee voting, voting by mail, voting...
Early voting?
That too was certainly what I was thinking of actually was making it a holiday or a half holiday. I mean, not all these ideas would work together because some of them address the same issues, but there are all number of ways we can make voting easier, making it a little clearer that people can vote now that the straight party ticket device is back on, that people can vote a straight party ticket at the top and then still split the ticket and vote for individual candidates of other parties.
Oh, wait a minute. No, hold on. Wait a minute. If you vote straight party, if you hit the Democratic or Republican circle, you're voting for Republican on all of the partisan races. That's how that works.
Yes, but you can make exceptions. You can split your ticket. You can say, I want all the Republicans but this Democrat, or all the Democrats but this Libertarian. In the primary, you can only choose one party or the other. And
right.
Only those two parties are on the ballot in the primary. But in the general election, there are three ways to vote. Straight party only. Mixed, which is individual votes without using the straight party device. Or a split ticket. It's in the law, and it's actually on the instructions that go with your ballot.
I will look it up.
I believe it's Section 736B, but I'll have to get back to you to be extra sure.
You say on your website that... elected officials should only be able to be replaced by voters. What exactly are you talking about there?
Well, primarily I'm talking about emergency managers, which is about, at least the way Michigan does it, about as against government by the people as anything I can think of. They're not elected. They replace people that people have elected. They are not accountable to the people. They have additional powers. And there's something else wrong with the approach. We're only looking at emergencies of immediate financial issues. Isn't the Flint water crisis an emergency? Isn't the increasing trend of funding inequality and segregation in our schools an emergency? But we aren't looking at those things.
Okay. What should the state do, though, when they do see that there is a city which is in deep financial trouble and perhaps headed towards bankruptcy, or a school district for that matter? What should the state's response be at that point?
Well, first I would argue that they may have had something to do with getting them there in the first place. I think a lot of more local efforts in government public sector have been defunded by the state government in a lot of recent years. But I would say one other green value that I would like to encourage my fellow legislators to consider and implement as a policy is sustainability and focus on the future. I think the first thing you do when you have a crisis is to stabilize the situation and then start making it better and to try to prevent it from happening again. If that comes with a price tag attached, then it does. But again, the government is supposed to be for our equal benefit, security, and protection. It's supposed to be working for our health, safety, and welfare.
Should state anti-discrimination laws include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yes. The Green Party has been in favor of that. Now, since it's been on the ballot here in Michigan in 2000, in 2002 we were the only party that actually came out against the anti same-sex marriage.
2004.
Well, it was already being proposed in 2002, and it came in 2004.
Well, it was on the ballot in 2004.
And yes. And we were out, you know, there as well. There was an actual coalition of particularly against that ballot issue, and we were the only state party in that coalition.
How would you reform the state's auto insurance laws? You know, we currently have this system of the catastrophic claims fund, which can, you know, pay people, you know, for the rest of their life if they are seriously injured. But we're the only state that has that. Are we doing something that the other 49 states should be doing, or do we need to reform that?
There may be some of each in that. I don't know. I think certainly the concept is good. Right. People who are, you know, if we have no fault insurance, then people who are injured for life by no fault of their own shouldn't necessarily have to pay that cost. I think one thing that would affect that is if, as the Green Party also advocates, we have a national single payer system for health care rather than focusing on health insurance.
Of course, that has to be done at the federal level.
Well, some states have been trying it.
Would you propose it in Michigan if you're in the legislature?
I would, yes.
If there were a proposal on the ballot to legalize marijuana in Michigan, would you vote for it?
Yes, I helped collect a couple of signatures for it. The Green Party has been supporting. Let me back up for a moment. It depends on which one it was. We supported the MI legalize proposal, the more, again, grassroots proposal. One of the other proposals was a bit more like the proposal that was rejected in Ohio because it was more top-down and trying to set up a small industry of particularly large growers. We do prefer the more homegrown approach, community-based economics as well as decentralization and grassroots democracy.
Should the state be mandating that a certain amount of energy come from renewable sources?
I think it's a very good idea. My presidential candidate, Jill Stein, is calling for 100% renewable and sustainable energy by 2030.
Okay. If you were in the state legislature, is that what you would propose?
I would propose that we start making a path towards that at the very least, yes.
So if you're elected to the state legislature, what are the changes that you would propose that you think would break this duopoly, as you call it, that would make it easier for someone who's not a Republican or a Democrat to run a competitive race for state house, Congress, et cetera?
Well, it's partly a matter of how the elections themselves are run. Any person of any party, but not of no party, can be an election inspector, a poll worker, but only a Republican and a Democrat can finally certify the results at any polling place, as one example of how the Republicans and Democrats have, should I say, duopolized positions. There are a lot of other actual agencies appointed as well as elected where only Democrats and Republicans can serve. And in truth, there are more of us who declare ourselves independent from either the Republicans or the Democrats than belong to either one. Polling has shown that nationwide and here in Michigan, where we don't actually even have to register by party to vote, the figure is probably even higher. It may even be close to an absolute majority.
John Anthony LaPietra, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
John Anthony LaPietra is the Green Party candidate for the 63rd State House District. That includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. One footnote to that interview, John Anthony LaPietra was correct that voters can mark the straight party option on the fall ballot and then vote for candidates of other parties in individual races. I apologize for the error and any confusion. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.